had it. When the Lord first gave it to me, the lady from Cuba, she put something on and it confirmed with me that I should bring this word, but I was poorly. And then last week I was supposed to have done it, and I was, I don't know why, but it's been held over for now. And then on this morning, when I read what Pastor Andrew put on, I thought, he's been reading my notes again. But I'm going to look at Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 2. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 2. Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Holiness is something that, or someone who has been exalted or worthy of complete devotion. Holiness is something that we work on to bring ourselves into a position which life of discipline, a life where we become disciples of whatever we are looking at. And today, God's saying to Moses, go and tell the people, I want them to be holy. If you read about the promise of the land in which they were going to, it says, when you get into the land, I want you to take it city by city and make sure that when you take the land, you destroy everything in it. Because if you don't, these people will become a snare to you. And they'll become a distraction. And God doesn't want his people to be a distraction. They'll be drawn away from not following him when they got into the land. As we know, if they'd have been obedient, they could have been in the land in 7 days. But they were disobedient. They didn't understand or didn't think of looking at what God was saying and believe that he could do what he wanted to do for them. Holiness is a life totally devoted to God. And that's what he wanted this Israel to be. Even today, they're a great nation because I believe they've got the hand of the Lord's upon them. Though they aren't doing things the way he would want them to do them at times. But let me say to you, that land belongs to them. It was given to them by God. Not 30 acres or 30 square miles rather, but 300, more land than that they possess today. But their life was to be focused. It was to be a holy life. Look at Leviticus 11, chapter 36. Leviticus 11. Chapter 11, verse 44. It says this. For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourself, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. God wants you to be a people like himself. We can't be exactly like God or be as God is, but he wants us to be people that are devoted and given to a life that is completely given over to him. And he wants nothing to take away from our lives. He wants them to be focused on living for him and for him alone and to live holy. Romans 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Romans is after Acts for those who are looking for it. Romans 12 verse 2. So then faith comes by hearing. That's verse 17, sorry. Verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. A life that is fully presented to God is a life that is lived holy and devoted and completely under him. There are five attributes or personal traits of God who is holy. And that is, he's a provisional God. He provides all that we stand in need of. He's a God that intervenes on our behalf. And let me say to you, over the past fortnight, God's had to intervene in my life and in my body. Physically, at times I've not known exactly where I was. Medication completely knocked me for six. But let me say to you, God intervened. And he brought me through, and he wants to intervene in your life, but he wants you to live holy before him. He's always wanted holiness. God put in the temple, the place called the Holy of Holies, where the priest could only go once a year, and that to take the blood of that was going to cover the sins of the nation for that year. But let me say to you, the curtain's been took away. It's no longer there. It was torn from top to bottom by Jesus on the cross when he said it was finished. And we have an entrance now into the holy place, in the place where God is. The throne of grace is always open to us. And somehow God is a God who is a provider and God an intervener. He presents he's on view or on hand 24/7. Pastor's already said tonight, he never leaves us nor forsakes us. He's always alongside. Though we may feel he's not there, he's there. We used to sing a chorus, an old chorus, standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. And sometimes nobody understands you better than he. No one understands you better than him. And sometimes your friends, they don't understand what's going on, what's happening. Why should you be like that? What's going on in you? Are you doing something wrong? Immediately something doesn't go right for you. People think, oh, you must have done something wrong. But very often when you're seeking God to be holy, set apart, and given unto him alone, the enemy tries to make it that you get diverted. There's only one way out of a cul-de-sac. That's to turn around and walk out of it. There's no way out the other end. And God doesn't want you down cul-de-sacs. He wants you to be on the high road that he's planned and purposed for us. He's a powerful God. He's having power and influence in our lives. And he can have power and influence in yours. He's infinite. He's always there. Hallelujah. He's limitless. There's no limit to what God can do. And also I believe that he's endless in his love towards you and me. Oh, that God loves you beyond your imagination. You can't comprehend or understand exactly how much he loves you and how much Jesus loved you to do what he did to come and become a human being. He might shed his blood and pay the price for our redemption. He's incomparable. He's second to none. There's no one as good as our God. Amen. Hallelujah. No one as great as our God. No one able to do what our God can do. And the verse that we first read, he says, go and tell the people to be holy. He wanted a holy nation. He wanted a nation that served him. He wanted a nation that brought about his purposes. And to a degree they did. But let me tell you, if they'd have done it right first time, what kind of a nation would they have been? Phenomenal. Been one of the greatest nations this world's ever known. But a nation that could not be conquered because God was on their side. And we're the same. We are the same. We are the people of God. As a people of God, we can't be defeated because he's won the victory for us. We can live in that victory. So to be holy is to be set apart, dedicated for a sacred purpose, clean morally and ceremonially clean. And this was something that they aimed for in the old, in the times they're in the land. But because they didn't obey what God was told them to do, he said, if you don't obey me, these people will be a snare to you. And they snared them time and time and time again, went into idol worship. They even went in the time of Ahab, they went into worship of Moloch and Baal. And they put their children to death by fire. They put their children in, and they did awful things in the name of this God who they tried to serve. But let me say to you, our God wants us to be clear and clean from that. He wants us to be set apart, and he wants us to be those that will be holy unto him. Holy is a place where we do not allow profane things or things that are that would hurt and harm our relationship with God. How often the enemy tries, doesn't he? He tries to do things and put things in our lives, and you think, wonder why that's there for. Wonder why I'm going through that particular moment of time. Why has that affliction come upon me? But let me tell you, it's sometimes part of the process of God leading you to be in that place where you're set apart and you're dedicated to the sacred purposes of God and you're clean morally. When I go bowling, and sometimes the talk around the table is anything but moral. It's absolutely, it's men going around and talk. When they start that, I get up and walk away. But I don't want to listen to what they've got to say. I remember Grace talking about a friend. She had two earrings in and out. And that's what we've got to do with the things that the enemy tries to sow in our minds. His playground is your mind. But if you want to be dedicated wholly unto God, being the person that God wants you to be, we've got to make sure that we don't allow those immoral things to come into our mind. We can't stop them coming in, but get them out straight away. Have a big back door for the stuff that God doesn't want there. And so you keep yourself clean and pure. To be set apart, holiness means to be set apart to someone or something. You read in the Old Testament, they used to, the anointing oil was a holy oil. It was an oil that was prepared by the perfumist, I think it was something like that. I couldn't get my tongue around it when I was reading it, but it was the anointing oil. God had said, prepare it because it will be a holy oil. And everything they put in the temple, it was either put in by anointing it with oil or sprinkling it with blood. So it's a set apart, set aside for God himself. And that's what God wants for us. Holiness is a place where we don't allow these things that would try and defile us and take away our thoughts from what God wants. He wants to make sure that we are completely dedicated unto him. The pastor put a great message on this morning. I thought, oh, he's been at my notes again. He talked about being set apart, being holy unto God. God, that's what God wants. And let me say to you, when we start and work on that basis of being holy and acceptable by God himself, we can move and know his power and work in our lives. Holiness is living a life that is glorifying to God 24/7. Not putting your suit on a Sunday, putting a good, and well, I would have a tie on, of course, but there's no getting dressed in that kind of garb, coming to church, spending 2 hours, and that's my lot this week, being what I want to be the following 6 days. No, God wants you to be a people that are set apart under him, holy unto God himself, a people that are objects, and they consider themselves to try and be holy as unto the Lord. God wants a people, and he wanted them initially as a nation to be unto God. Exodus chapter 10, sorry, chapter 30, verse 25. Exodus 30, Exodus 30. Have we gone off? No, we're still there. It talks about the holy anointing of an ointment compounding according to the art of the perfumer. It shall be holy anointing oil. God wants you to have us to be such a group of people, and I believe we're moving in that area where we're holy and we're a work of God in our lives. Jeremiah 2, chapter verse 3. Jeremiah 2, verse 3. I think you may have gone too far. I can find them quicker when I'm at home. Israel, Israel was a was holy. Sorry, my eyes are not that good at the moment. Israel was holiness unto the Lord. That's what he wants for us. He wants us to be a group of people that are holy, set apart, and as unto the Lord himself. And Zechariah chapter 14, verse 20, 20 and 21. Zechariah 14, verse 20. Verse 20, 21 of chapter 14. And it says this. And then in that day, holiness to the Lord shall be engraved on the bells of the horses. The pots in the Lord's house shall be like the poles before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and Judea shall be holiness to the Lord of hosts. Everyone who sacrifices shall come and take them and cook in them. In that day, there shall no longer be a Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. God not only wants us to be a separated people, a people that are wholly given unto him, but he wants us also to make sure that we don't allow the world to contaminate or to bring things into our lives or into our church life, those things that would distract and take us away from the Lord. God wanted a people who were set apart unto him, and he wants them to be dedicated to his principles and his purposes. The Lord wanted them to be morally ceremonially clean. And he wants the same for you and me. He's working out continually to make sure that the path that you walk, the way that you go, the things that you do are glorifying unto his name. And he wants your life to be such that it's wholly set apart under him. In Paul writes in I don't know where it's 2 Corinthians 6:17. He 2 Corinthians 6:17. One of the verses that we used to use very often as young people. And it says this: come out from among them and be thou separated, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you. You shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Come out from among them. It's not sometimes easy to walk this world in a way in which you are separated from it. But he wants us to be in the world, but he doesn't want the world to be in us. He continually wants us to be in that place of separation. And he wanted his people to be that. And we are the people of God. One of the things getting a bit emotional, but one of the things I had to learn was I got a loving Heavenly Father. Amen. I never had one before. Never had a father that I could look up to. I had only lived with him for 6 years, but he was a bully and a drunkard, and it was the living at home wasn't home. It was just a place where I went to sleep and went to eat. But apart from that, I had no home life whatsoever till I found Jesus. Hallelujah. Found a loving Heavenly Father. People used to talk about God in ways I didn't understand. Never knew what it meant. But as I've learned and as I've gone on with God over the last over 70 years, I've found him to be a loving Heavenly Father that continually works on our behalf. And my favorite verse is, it's not Romans 8:28, but Romans 8:29, which I'll look at in a moment. But he says, come out from among them and be ye separate. The world's got to see a people that are separated to God, that live in a different world to what they are. We've got a lady that's in the moment, she's going through her life is living one crisis after another. Doesn't believe anybody likes her. She thinks everybody's against her, but you can't get near to her, because as soon as you start to touch things about you need the Lord, she shuts off and switches off, and you don't see her for 3 or 4 days. And then she'll come and she'll start to. But let me say, the world wants to see of people that are totally dedicated to the Lord, who are living a different life, and showing to them that they can live the same life as well. You will, and he said, if you come out from among them and you are separated under me, I'll be a father to you. Amen. I'll be someone that you can look up to, someone that cares for you. And he said, you will be my sons and daughters. And I believe that we, as sons and daughters, we have rights with God. I think Steve spoke about we're adopted. Adoption has got more rights than actually being part of the family, our family naturally. If you adopt somebody, you take a lot of responsibility on. And let me say to you, God took the responsibility of adopting us into the family of God. We are the children of God. Hallelujah. And because of that, we can know his power and his love working in our lives. You are set apart from what you were. I'm not what I was. That's gone and been done for. My sins and my iniquities are remembered no more. They're in the sea of God's forgetfulness. Not the old Negro said, and that's good enough for me. My sins are gone. And they're going to stop there as well. One said, God's put them in the sea of his forgetfulness. He's got a big sign up, no fishing. No fishing. If you said to the Lord, I'm sorry about last week, Lord, when you've asked him to forgive you, you say, what are you talking about? We can't forget, but he can. And he does. And he treats us as though we had just started again. I enjoyed when Steve said, he don't just wipe your slate clean, he gives you a new slate. Hallelujah. And we've got new lives to live. Amen. Lives that are set apart, holy unto God. Romans 8:29, one of my favorite verses. 8:29. I know that a lot of people quote 8:28, which I believe also, but 8:29 says, for whom he foreknew. Do Jeremiah says, he knew me when I was in my mother's womb. Then we read in the scriptures, he knew us before the foundation of the world. How does that happen? We can't understand God. We can appreciate him. We can give him our love and set ourselves aside so we're holy unto him. But to understand what he knows, he knew that 21st of January. Sorry, but 1935, they said, christen him quick, because he won't live. But God had other ideas. He said, not that he won't live, but I've just passed my 89th year. Hallelujah. God has been good, and he's had my life in his hands. I was only talking even today to one of the carers, and I was saying, well, we were talking about the war years and when you used to be able to go and get the stick and book. I can remember having to go and get that. Have six of the best. Where do you want them today, Street? On your bottom or on your hands? Well, I had them on my hands last time, so I'll have them on my bottom this time. And it weren't just a little tap. It was a good whack. If they did it today, they'd be had up for assault. But we were saying, also, I can remember a doodle bug no further than that post going past me and my brother about 10 feet off the ground. And it then suddenly went down to where we'd been playing. If we'd have still been down there, we'd have been dead. If it had landed 10 feet short of where it went, we'd have been dead. But God said, hey, well, go on, go a bit further. Go down and get yourself down there. And we were saved. I didn't realize it at the time. But as I look back and see what God has done, and he expects something of me. He expects me to live for him in such a way, dedicate my life to his purposes. And he says, I foreknew you. He also destined you to be conformed like the image of his son. God's a holy God. He wants a holy people. It was a people that are set apart under him, a people that are not touched by the things of this world, the contamination that they bring. You turn the television on, what do you got? It's all gloom and doom. It's been budget day today. I don't know, we'll get nothing from it. I don't think it'll be anything but. But let me say, they were like children squabbling about one had said this and one had said that. To me, I didn't watch a lot of it. It just happened to be on the news. But let me say to you, we've not got a squabbling God. No. We've got a loving Heavenly Father that cares for you. And he wants you to live for him in such a way that the things that we go through will conform us into the image of his son. He wants us to be more like Jesus. And if we show our love and our care for our God and we dedicate our lives to him, give him those things that he requires at our hands and do those things he wants of us to do, we fulfill that. We set ourselves aside. We set ourselves apart and we become a holy people as unto God. You are set apart, and that's what God is wanting, to be in the place of fellowship with him. Wouldn't it have been marvelous to be in Adam and Eve, them first few weeks or wherever it was, when they walked with the Lord? He came and walked in the eventide, and they had fellowship with God, and they had there was nothing between. They weren't inhibited by the sins that could so easily distract them, because there was no sin at that time. Then suddenly the enemy came along and said, hath God said? Does he whisper to you? He whispered to me the other day. He's come back, you know. No. I said, oh, no, it hasn't. You might think so, but I don't. I know so. God's taken it, and he's got it all in control. Though sometimes the things do not go the way I would like them to go. But in it all, God is trying to conform me to the image of his son. Amen. Let him do his work amongst us. Let him do that which will cause us to live for him in such a way that our lives are dedicated for him. Before the fall, Adam and Eve met every evening in the cool of the evening, and he created them for that purpose. You are created to worship God. We are, he said, let us make man in our own image. Okay, it didn't mean that we have all the characteristics that God's got, his omnipotence, his omnipresence, and all the things that he has. But what he wanted us to be is a people that were set apart and worship only him. And if that had continued to be so, we'd have had a different world. But sin entered, and death came by sin. And Adam was put out before. God said to him, where are you, Adam? Did God know? And he knew where they was. He knew where they was all the time. But he wanted Adam to recognize that there was a parting in the ways, that what he'd done was not what God wanted him to do. You may have made mistakes. I've made my mistakes. I've done things that I wish 5 seconds later I hadn't done them. I've said something and other ways. Oh, if only could take that back. But you can't, but we've got forgiveness. Amen. Got one who's able to forgive and put us on the road and back onto the pathway he's created. Till Jesus came, there was no meeting with God like we have today. There was no relationship. Yeah, there were men that like David, he had a heart for God. He loved the Lord, but he didn't have the same privilege that we've got of having our sins forgiven, dealt with completely, and then move on and be dedicated. He dedicated his life. He made his mistakes, but he was so distraught by those mistakes that it says that he confessed them, and God even in those days forgave him and used him to bring glory and honor to his name. But let me say to you, we've a different regime, I nearly said regime then, but we've a different way now, because Jesus paid the price on the cross. And we will never know what it cost Jesus to become man so that he could shed his blood, because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. But he shed all his blood, and it paid the price once and for all. We have forgiveness. We have freedom and liberty in our God, and he wants us to use that freedom and liberty to set ourselves apart and only unto him. God still desires to meet his greatest creation for fellowship and communion. His one desire is to use all the things to mold us into the image of his Son. He wants to conform us into the image of his Son. And he uses the things that come into our lives to bring us to a place where we can give ourselves in such a way to him that he can work the work that will transform us into the image of Jesus. He sees you complete. He sees the complete David in the glory. Amen. But I've got a journey to make down here. Until I've made that journey, I'll not go to there, but into the glory, or get called, or he comes again. We don't know. We don't know what the future holds, but he does. But he's working out our future to produce in us a people that are holy, set apart to him, holy unto God himself. The more we become like Jesus, the holier we will be. God wants the church and the family of God to be wholly set apart unto himself. One of the things that brings holiness into our lives one that brings unholiness into our lives is fellowship with the world. His word says, friendship with the world is to be an enmity with God. I've forgotten the name you call it, but I said to her, what does enmity mean? She says, I haven't heard of that one. She didn't understand. So I spelled it to her. She says, I still don't understand, David. So it must have been my accent that put her off completely. But then Alex, no, what do they call that? That one you can speak to, and she speaks back to you. Alexa. I said to Alexa, what does enmity mean? She says, I haven't heard that one, David. And nor does anybody outside of God. They don't know what it means to be at enmity with God. Friendship with the world cuts us off from God himself. We've got to be so careful of how we live our lives. But old things have passed away, the word says. All things have become new. Holiness comes in as we live a new life, and it's found by being obedient to God's word and doing his will. God wants you to be a people and wants me to be a person that is completely, utterly given over to him, given our lives in such a way that we serve him every moment of our day, our waking moments. I'm glad I had 8 hours sleep last night. Wow, that's good for me, because I usually have 2 hours wake up and think, am I going to go back to sleep? And I slept for eight hours with one pit stop, of course, but never mind. But the Lord wants to be the center and the circumference of our lives. He wants to be the one that we look up to. He wants us to have eyes only for him. He wants us to love him and serve him. And he wants us to be our main purpose in life is to be separated unto him, be hallowed in all that we do, and be devoted to the work and purposes that God has for us. Do we keep ourselves separated from the world? It's not easy sometimes. It's easier to go along with what they're doing, but sometimes we need to get up and walk away and say, enough, enough. You carry on with what you want to do. I don't want that, don't want to hear that or allow that into my life and my thoughts. Our lives are hallowed, a holy life that is honouring to our Lord. Are we devoted followers of Jesus? That's what he wants. Devoted, disciplined ones, ones who are prepared to pay the price of living for him in a world that has forgotten him. My prayer is that the power that raised Jesus from the dead will dwell in me in such a way that I won't be found wanting, but found doing the will and purpose that he called me to do. May God help us to live for him in such a way that we are wholly separated unto God himself in a world that's sick with sin, but wants to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Amen.